Good morning and welcome to this service of worship from Latrobe United Presbyterian Church, 340 Spring Street in Latrobe, Pennsylvania. I'm John Simpson and I'm the interim pastor here. This service is for the 4th of July weekend, Independence Day weekend, and the topic of this sermon is One Nation Under God. It's based primarily on Psalm 33. Let us worship God together. The Lord gives strength to his people. He blesses his people with peace. Great is the nation whose God is the Lord. Strong is the country who follows his will. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Let us worship him. Now join us in this hymn that was sung here some time ago at Latrobe United Presbyterian Church. Let us pray together. Forgive us, Lord, for taking for granted the freedoms and liberties that we enjoy in our nation. Pardon us for failing to remember the faithfulness of those who have died to keep us free, and your caring hand that has guided us throughout the centuries. Lord, be merciful to us for forgetting to make the truths of our spiritual faith predominant in our lives as citizens of this land. Help us, Lord, to become more compassionate. Help us to become a more helpful people who are always guided by your will for our world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His
The first scripture lesson this morning is taken from the book of 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter. The context for this passage is that King Solomon had just completed construction of the wonderful temple in Jerusalem, a temple that his father David had wanted to construct, but that God had said no, Solomon would do the construction. He had just completed the construction and the temple had been dedicated, and the Lord appeared to Solomon, and this is what he said. When Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord and the royal palace, and had succeeded in carrying out all he had in mind to do in the temple of the Lord and in his own palace, the Lord appeared to him at night. And the Lord said, I have heard your prayers and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among the people, if my people who call by my name will humble themselves, and if they will pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to their prayers offered in this place. I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name will be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. As for you, if you walk before me as David your father did and do all that I command and observe all my decrees and laws, I will establish your royal throne as I coveted with David your father, when I said to him, I shall never fail to see a man rule over Israel. But if you turn away and forsake the decrees and commands, if you turn away and forsake the decrees and commands I have given you and go off to serve other gods and worship them, then I will root up Israel from my land, which I have given them. I will reject this temple that I have consecrated to my name. I will make it a byword and an object of ridicule among all people. And though this temple is now so imposing, all who pass by will be appalled and say, why has the Lord done such a thing to this land and to this temple? People will say, because they have forsaken the Lord, the God of their fathers, who brought them out of Egypt, and they embraced other gods and worshiped and served them. That is why he has brought disaster on this land. Amen. Now let us listen together to this hymn that was sung recently here at La Trobe United Presbyterian Church. second scripture lesson is taken from Psalm 33. Listen for God speaking to you through these verses. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. From heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all of mankind. From his dwelling place, he watches all those who live on earth. He has formed the hearts of all who he considers everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all of its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him and on those who hope in his unfailing love. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. Amen. So why is it that we celebrate Independence Day here in the church? Isn't that a government holiday? Why is it that we celebrate Memorial Day here in the church? The Sunday before Memorial Day, why is it we pause to remember those who were killed in wars for this country? Why do we celebrate that here in church? Is it perhaps illegal? Is it perhaps illegal for us to display the American flag in this house of worship? Does that not violate the laws of separation of church and state? Is it not in fact unconstitutional for us to do these things? Should we even be mentioning national holidays, let alone celebrating them in the church? Answers to these questions can be found in the words of Psalm 33, which I just read. Listen again to those ancient words. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Well-equipped armies cannot save a nation, but the eyes of the Lord are watching over those who fear him and who rely on his steadfast love. We depend on the Lord to save us. Only he can help us and protect us like a shield. Yes, Lord, let your constant love surround us, for our hopes are in you alone. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Why is it that we display the American flag in church? Why is it that we celebrate national holidays in church? Why is it that people flock to the church when their nation has been attacked like on 9/11? Why do we pray for our nation? We pray because we love our nation. We pray because we love living in a democracy. We pray because we treasure the freedoms that we enjoy. And most importantly of all, because we believe what the Bible says when it says that a nation that loves God and that tries to serve God will be blessed by God. And that a nation that does not will not be blessed by God and in fact will be rejected by God. Isn't it funny how some things just stick in your mind? You know, some things that happened long ago, you can just kind of call to memory like that. Some scenario, some scene, available at instant recall. That's the case for me I can still remember what it was like in 1954. I was in grade school back then, and our teacher informed us that we were going to change the Pledge of Allegiance, and that we would have to remember and put some new words in there when we said it each morning. At the time, I wasn't thrilled by the idea. It simply meant that I had to learn something new, and what kid is interested in learning something new that they have to do every day? You know, to me, it was just another complication in a life that was already, I thought, complicated enough. I had bicycles to ride and ball games to play and fun to have with my friends. But in 1954, we did as the government had ordered, and we began adding these words to the morning pledge of allegiance each day in grade school. The words that we added were, under God. Under God. One nation under God. That was well over 60 years ago now, and yet the debate over these two words continues to go on. Under God. Are these words an appropriate recognition of our nation being blessed by God? Or are they, as some would say, a violation of the principle of church and state? That's a question that the courts of our country have wrestled with decade after decade. Looked at from the perspective of those who settled this land, it would seem to be an appropriate affirmation. In fact, the Pilgrims who settled in New England strongly believed that they were like God's ancient chosen people, Israel, that they had been led by God to this promised land so that they could worship and serve Him freely and openly, so that they could live their lives for Him as they believed He wanted them to live them. They believed that they had come to this land as God's chosen people on a mission. And they paid a heavy price. Many died. There was much suffering so that this nation could be colonized as a nation under God. Think about those two words for a minute. Under God. Under God. What does it mean to you to be a nation under God? What does it mean to you to be a nation under God? Along with the things that those two words mean to you personally, allow me to suggest to you two things that Psalm 33 says are a part of living as a nation under God. I refer you particularly to verse 18 of Psalm 33. That verse says, the eyes of the Lord watch over those who fear Him and those who rely on His unfailing, steadfast love. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who fear Him and who rely on His unfailing, steadfast love. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who fear Him. The concept of fearing anyone or anything is not a very popular concept in our world today, let alone the fear of God. We live in a world that tries to avoid fear at all costs. We talk to counselors to overcome it, We meditate to mask it, and we take pills to make fear go away. But the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you want to be wise, you need to have some fear of the Lord. If you were going to visit a friend, and as you walk up to their house, you see their Rottweiler loose, growling and baring its teeth at you as you approach the house, fear might be the beginning of wisdom for you, an appropriate response. If your boss looks at you straight in the eye and says, "Look now, I want this work on my desk by Monday morning, or you can look for another job." The fear of losing your paycheck could be the beginning of wisdom for you. If you are out camping and you become aware and you are awakened by the sniffing and snorting of a bear outside of your tent, the fear of that bear could cause you to lie very, very still until the bear goes away. And that fear would be the beginning of wisdom. It would be the wise thing for you to do. It would cause you to do the wise thing. So too, a healthy fear of God is for us personally and is for us as a nation the beginning of wisdom. A healthy fear of God for us personally and as a nation is the beginning of wisdom. After all, it is God who created us. It is God who breathed life into us. It is God who will determine our eternal destinies, both as individuals and our eternal destiny as a nation. And while he loves us with an amazing love, is not God's power, God's majesty, God's grandeur, and God's control of this world, is it not something to be feared? God is not only a loving God, he is a just God. And so a nation under God is a nation that has a healthy respect. It is a nation that has a healthy fear of the Lord. Psalm 33 says, the eyes of the Lord watch over those who fear him. But the psalmist also writes, the eyes of the Lord also watch over those who rely on his unfailing love. The eyes of the Lord also watch over those who rely on his unfailing love. What or who do you rely on in your journey through life? What or who do you rely on in your journey through life? Do you rely on your husband or your wife? Do you rely on your doctor? Do you rely on your company for your paycheck? Do you rely on your company? Or do you rely on the Social Security Administration? Do you rely on the advice of your grown children? Or do you rely on the advice of your neighbors or your parents? Eventually, all of these people that we love and that I mentioned, eventually all of these people and things will pass away, and ultimately and eternally, it is only God's love for us that has lasting value. It is only God's love for us that will see us through, both individually and as a nation. A nation that is under God is a nation that knows and recognizes that the only way that it can last, the only way that it can last as a nation, is to rely on God's eternal love and care. Let me say that again. The only way a nation will last, the only way that a nation will last, is when it relies on God. If you doubt that, I would challenge you to read the history of ancient Israel as it is recorded in the Old Testament. And in that history, you see the consequences of not fearing the Lord and relying on his constant love. So how are we doing, America? How are we doing, America? How are we doing? A nation that fails to rely on God. A nation that fails to rely on God is like the spider in this old Danish folktale. It seems that there once was a spider who lived high up in the rafters of an old barn. One day the spider let himself down on a very, very long thread to a much lower beam. And down, down, down he went until he reached this new beam where insects were bigger and more plentiful and easier to catch. He then decided to live permanently on this level, and to spin for himself a large and beautiful web. But one day he noticed that thread that he had descended upon, and he noticed that it was still there, reaching up into the distant darkness. And he said to himself, "I don't need that anymore. It's only getting in my way." And with that, he snipped that original thread. But he quickly discovered what a terrible mistake he had made, because when he snipped that one thread, the whole web collapsed and came crashing down. The whole web collapsed and came crashing down. May America not make the same mistake as that spider, turning its back on the only one upon whom it can rely. May America not make that same mistake, turning its back on the only one upon whom it can rely. So why do we celebrate national holidays in the Christian church? It's because we recognize and respect and stand in awe of how abundantly God has blessed this nation. It's because we recognize, respect, and stand in awe of how faithful God has been to this country down through the centuries, and because we also recognize that such holidays are a great opportunity to recognize as Christians, to recognize as a nation, that it is ultimately in God that we must trust, and in God alone. Psalm 33, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, for the eyes of the Lord watch over those who fear him and who rely on his unfailing love. Let us pray together. Lord, we thank you for the freedoms that we enjoy. We thank you indeed, Lord, that we can come here and we can worship you in this church and in churches around the nation. We thank you for that freedom. We thank you for your faithfulness to us from the days of the pilgrims until this very day, Lord. You are so good and so gracious, and you have blessed this nation so richly. Forgive us when we turn our back on you. May this nation humble itself and be your faithful, obedient people. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Lord, help us to be your people. Amen. Now let us join in this closing hymn as it was sung here some time ago at La Trobe United Presbyterian Church. Let us go into the world in peace. May the blessings of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen.